Welcome, Voltron fans, to 2018 on Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. I am your host, Mark Morrell, and joining me in 2018 is my co-host, Greg Tyler. Welcome, Greg.
Hello, Mark. Hello, Voltron fans across the universe. This 2018 is the year of Voltron. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't last year and the year before that and a whole lot of years before that? Why, yes. Well, this is another one.
When you have a current show on Netflix, every year's Voltron year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's awesome to be back with you, Mark, to celebrate another year of Voltron with Let's Voltron.
Yeah, so this is great. The show has been out since June of 2016, so this is our third year of celebrating this. And we're now, you know, looking forward to season five.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want everybody out there to relax a little bit, okay? We're excited about season five. Everybody knows it's coming, and it'll be here soon, okay? It'll be here before you know it, and we'll be talking about season five. But for today's podcast, we are going to be talking about season four.
Oh, yeah, that one.
So we're starting this year off on the right foot. We're going to be doing an episode review of Code of Honor, which is the first episode from season four.
Yeah, so while we wait on season five, let's take a little turn back through time and revisit season four.
Did you get anything for Christmas that's Voltron related?
My daughter got me the new Voltron Legendary Defender wristwatch. You got me one as well. So I actually have one for each wrist. Thank you for that, Mark.
Nice.
Yeah. Then I also got a lanyard from my daughter, and you had sent me some really cool goodies from the Let's Voltron Tee Public store. And my daughter and I both are very grateful for those gifts, so thank you very much for that. Your gift is late, but is on its way as of later this week. That is a promise.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it just took a while for it to get here, so it remains a surprise. Anyway, so yeah, how about you? What kind of Voltron-y awesomeness did you get?
Ooh, I had a good one. I got both the Shiro and Lance action figures.
Ah, nice.
From Playmates Toys. I also got the full diecast set of the Voltron Legendary Defender diecast.
Nice.
From Playmates Toys.
Uh-huh.
And I also got copies of the two books from Simon & Schuster from the Simon Spotlight. It's Blade of Marmora and Space Maul.
Very nice.
And I also got the Stand Together Ellen Torrey t-shirt from Let's Voltron Store.
Oh, very cool.
So I wanted to make a mention about the Space Maul book.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people don't know that not only does it have stickers inside, but at the very end, it includes a bonus never-before-told story.
Yes, yes, I know. I have that in front of me as well.
So I just wanted to give people a little tease that if you hadn't gotten the Space Maul book yet, then what you'll find out is that at the end of the book, there's a little greeting from the guy who ran the Earth shop in Space Maul, and we found out the name of it is called It's Earth.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yes, so there's a little bit of a greeting from him. This is just a little tease, but it's so nice to know that the name of the shop was called It's Earth.
Yeah, although the sign said Terra, but, you know,
right.
We'll see. The book says It's Earth, so there you go.
Right. It was also nice to go back through that book to relive the part where Hunk is running away from Breppet Sal's. You know, as he's running away, he says, "Those are the fundamentals of cooking."
Mm-hmm.
I love that part.
Yeah, me too.
You know, we've got a great amount of episodes coming up that we're going to be reviewing for season four.
Yep.
You know, in the tradition of the humor that was there in Space Maul, we'll also be doing the Voltron show, which is another episode in season four that we can't wait to review.
Right.
Did you do anything on our time off?
Well, yeah. So this box arrived from some company called Playmates Toys, and it contained the full set of Voltron 84 Classic Legendary Lions. So I thought, podcast, toys to review. Why not make a review video of the toys for the podcast YouTube channel? And so that's what I did.
That's an awesome idea.
Yes, I almost kind of enjoy that. It's almost like I've done that before. But yeah, so my daughter got in on the action a little bit. She has some voiceover parts near the end of the video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cracked open the toys, played with them on camera, talked about them a lot, and had a lot of fun. So yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. It's out there now, and I would encourage everyone to check out the video and check out those toys.
So it was almost like second Christmas.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was. Well, see, here's the fun part. I mentioned this in the video, but here's your sneak peek. So the toys arrived and I loved them to the point that I actually went like a madman and went shopping for them as if I had not gotten a set and wound up buying two more sets. So
you have three sets of this?
Indeed. So if that's not enough of an indication of what I think of these toys, I don't know what is. They are so amazing.
I'm sure there's some really jealous people out there that they can't even find one set probably right now. Obviously, it's out there in the stores. Check your Targets. Check your Toys R Us. Check your Walmarts. Check Amazon. Pretty soon, you'll be able to check the Voltron store.
Yes.
Because it's coming to the Voltron store as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about that. But keep on hunting, you know, you're bound to find it soon.
There's another item that sort of snuck its way into retail stores, and that's from Playmates Toys. It's called Defender Voltron, and it's about 12 inches tall. It's a non-transforming figure, no electronics. It's a pretty simple figure, but it includes Voltron's shield and shoulder cannon. I have not yet seen it in stores, but I've seen photos online from people who do have it. It looks cool. I am on the hunt for it, and I will probably shoot a short review for that in the near future. But that is out there. There's still the promise of the release of Pidge, Hunk, and Allura figures to accompany the still very difficult to find Keith, Lance, and Shiro figures. I expect that when those hit shelves, we will see greater quantities of those previously released Paladins as well. There's no way they could have that many figures come out and all of them be that crazy scarce.
Right. And then we're also looking forward to, obviously, New York Toy Fair coming up this year.
Yeah.
We're hoping that they are able to, you know, maybe show us something we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. What's your favorite part of Voltron 84 Classic Legendary Lions?
That's hard to say. I opened the boxes and thought, these are so cool. Now you might recall from the Christmas 2016 episode of the podcast where we talked about all the stuff we hope to get. And one of the things I mentioned was the Bandai Soul of Chogokin GX-71 Voltron. Well, that didn't pan out. I had pre-ordered it. The distributor didn't come through to the store where I ordered it from. And, in the meantime, they sold out everywhere else. So I never did get one. And
there were people that were actually asking us online, how come you guys never did a review of that? And I had to tell them what had happened to you.
Yeah, I was disappointed in the extreme, but I am not disappointed to the tune of the $500, $600, $700, or $800 that they now command on the secondary market. You know, I'm hopeful that Bandai will eventually re-release it. But in any case, this set of toys is very heavily inspired in terms of the aesthetics by the Bandai Soul of Chogokin Voltron. It's got some really slick sculpting. It is not a direct, you know, it's not like they just took the Bandai molds and blew them up a little larger. These are entirely new molds, but the aesthetics are very inspired by the Soul of Chogokin robot. So it looks really, really nice. I was surprised by how much I liked the electronic light and sounds. I like the feature in the Legendary Defender Lions, but there's something about hearing a recreation of stuff from the show that I watched as a kid. And that you had watched when it originally aired. And they're not the original voices or sounds, but they're very, very similar in spirit and feel. And there's just something really cool about hearing those electronics, something that they could not have done back in the 80s because the technology just wasn't quite there at that time.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have the Knight Rider talking kit car from about the same time that Voltron came out, and there literally is a plastic record inside of the car, and it would turn, and there'd be a little needle in there, and that's how it would play sound effects. Well, To do the 60 plus sounds of the current toy, you'd need a lot of platters stuffed into that black lion.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is all electronic. It's really nice. The electro force cross and the crown on the shield on the chest lights up when the sounds play. I really like a feature that, again, I didn't expect to like as much as I did, and that's the fact that you can interchange these lions with the Legendary Defender Legendary Lions. And you might think, gee, that's going to look like a hodgepodge mess. Well, actually, it looks pretty cool.
And this was a special thing that I liked in your review, is that maybe not all the reviewers who do videos of this toy would understand that it is interchangeable with the Voltron Legendary Defender Legendary Lions set. And when you did that, I was like, oh, that's so cool. I can just make any mix match of anything I want. And the thing that I liked about it was that when you take out apart the lions from the main Voltron,
mm-hmm,
and put them back together, they don't always make the same sounds.
Yeah, and that was true with the Legendary Lions, the VLD, the Voltron Legendary Defender Legendary Lions. I actually, in that video, I think I connected the lions multiple times on camera to kind of demo some of those sounds. I didn't do that this time with the classic lion set, but it is indeed true that as you connect them time after time and disconnect them, they do not always play the same sounds. And it is kind of neat. In fact, as I also demoed in the Voltron 84 Lions, how much easier it now is to separate the Legendary Defender Lions. One of my comments in the original review for that is that the Green Lion was really kind of difficult to remove. It is a lot easier with mine. I still have that set of Lions from that review, and the Lions come off very, very easily. But I was very surprised as I disassembled Voltron from the 2016 release that I heard a few sounds I hadn't heard before
mm-hmm,
a year after the fact. So,
right.
Yeah, it's really neat to kind of get that surprise from time to time.
Yes. So you did a great job with this video, and also everybody loves your little add-ons at the end.
Well, thank you. I know that my videos tend to be pretty chatty. There are some who aren't too fond of that style, and, you know, I can only do what I can do. I've tried to streamline things as the newer videos have come out. I stopped blabbing about assortment number X and item number Y with every single item. I thought just flashing that info on the screen is good enough. So things are getting more streamlined. But yeah, I always try to throw in a little some fun Easter eggs here and there. So thanks for pointing that out.
And I just wanted to let people know that the one that you did last year for the Legendary Lions set for Voltron Legendary Defender,
uh-huh,
is now approaching 1 million views.
Oh my.
And in this video that you just made for the classic 84 Voltron,
uh-huh,
you don't say ratcheting nearly as many times.
That's right. Yeah, that was another little sort of streamlined thing. In fact, I got to Voltron and said, they all ratchet unless I say otherwise. Yeah.
So people will be happy that you listened to their suggestions and you improved upon it for the second round.
Yeah, that was the VLD Legendary Lions review was literally the second review video I'd ever done. The previous one was with the roleplay toys, like the...
Yes.
Yeah, and so that was a whole different ball of wax. There were no ratcheting joints with those. just me making a fool of myself with the mask and the sword on camera, as opposed to being off camera and making a fool of myself. So yeah, things are a little more streamlined, and I'm still having a blast making them. They take a long time to crank out, so I appreciate everyone's patience. But please enjoy the video, but above and beyond, please enjoy those toys, because my goodness, they're fun.
Yeah, and you can go out to our YouTube channel right now. You know, we have over 3,000 subscribers right now on YouTube. So if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and subscribe. And then you'll get more of these toy reviews, and as well as some of the special things that we do. You know, we add in some special stuff that not everybody gets. So we do interviews at some of the conventions and everything. Maybe we do some special things that came exactly from maybe some of our guests on the show and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that little thing we did.
So we also had some of our fans from the Shiro Nanigans podcast had made some of their own little videos. There are people that have made videos of when we had AJ Locascio on. So, remember when AJ Locascio did the ballerina Barbie snippet from Adam's Family Values?
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Keaton had done the Shiro version of Hero by Enrique Iglesias.
Right, right, right.
So there were some people that were making stuff about that as well. So go check it out. It's our YouTube channel. It's Let's Voltron on YouTube.
All right.
Okay, so the next thing we have coming up very soon, January 31st, from Lion Forge Comics. It's the trade paperback of Volume 2 of the Voltron Legendary Defender comic book series.
Nice.
And it's called Pilgrimage. That will be coming out on trade paperback for $14.99, and that's on January 31st. You should be able to get it at your local comic shop. If not, it's also available on Amazon and the Voltron store.
Very cool.
You know, at the end of the year, we had made our fourth anniversary podcast, right?
Right.
As a result of that, when we posted that on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, we had also said that if you were on Twitter and you retweeted it, or if you were on Facebook and you shared it, or if you're on Instagram and you commented on it, you'd have a chance to win a prize pack from that fourth anniversary show.
Right.
Well, we're here now.
We have a winner?
Yeah, well, here's what we have. We have a medium-sized Voltron Legendary Defender t-shirt.
Cool.
We have the basic Black Lion from Playmates Toys. We have the limited edition New York Comic Con Han Solo Voltron enamel pin set. And we have a variety of Let's Voltron stickers.
Wow, that's a nice prize pack.
Yes, so that's all going to one winner. Everything but the stickers was donated by our friends at World Events Productions and the Voltron store.
Wonderful.
So thank you very much for that donation.
That's so cool.
And now the drum roll, please. And our winner from Instagram, Ivory_AK. That's Ivory_AK. Ivory_AK. You are the winner of the fourth anniversary podcast prize pack.
Congratulations.
We will be contacting you by email or on Instagram.
Nice.
So congratulations. We love giving away stuff, don't we?
Oh, yes. It's cool.
It's always good to start off the year giving away stuff, too.
That's right. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away now.
All right. We're at the part now where we actually get to talk about Episode 1 from Season 4, Code of Honor of Voltron Legendary Defender on Netflix.
All right. It's been a while. We're back in style, and we're covering Season 4. How many months after the fact?
Right, but guess what? We still have a little bit of time left before Season 5 comes to get these all in.
That's true. And guess what, listeners? We don't know when Season 5 is coming out either. As Mark said,
right.
Be patient. We're being patient. It's hard to wait, we know. But it's coming. It's just a matter of time. And in the meantime, let's kick back, relax, and revisit Season 4.
And you'll get all these episode reviews from Season 4 that'll bring you right up to Season 5, okay?
Yep.
So that'll be nice, too. All right, so this one was written by Joshua Hamilton, directed by Eugene Lee. The additional voices are Ike Amadi, AJ Lucasio, Erica Luttrell, Mark Rolston, Cree Summer, and Fred Tatasciore.
All right.
So at the beginning of the episode, we see a large Galra cruiser over top of a large body of water. There's beeping and the engines are roaring. And we hear the first voice is a cruiser commander saying, "This is Galra cruiser Beta 9. We are within range and requesting permission to dock." And then over the comm and over the screen, you hear the dock commander say, "Proceed." So the cruiser proceeds to go underwater. We see the docking station it is approaching. Then they show several Galra soldiers listening in on the PA inside. Now, over the PA, you hear a Galra voice. "A priority one shipment is en route. Activate the docking station immediately." So the lights come on inside the station, and we see two soldiers. Soldier One, we're going to call him, says, "I can't believe we're stuck here. This base predates the Zyperium siege. It's amazing this equipment remains operational." And then Soldier 2 says, "We're lucky to have it since the rebels overran the Sigma 3 quadrant. It's all we have left in this system."
Yeah, that's some very good backstory there, some exposition. I got to tell you, I love the visual and the sound of that Galra battleship going under the water. I mean, you know, these are the things that we've seen in the skies. We've seen them in space, traveling faster than light, wreaking all kinds of havoc. And it's so cool to see them see this thing go underwater like a submarine.
It makes it so realistic.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I do like the fact that they mentioned some things here that we had never heard before. Predates the Zyperium siege.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we'd ever learn what that was about. And then it talks about the Sigma 3 quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting a little bit of more areas of the universe that maybe we haven't been to.
Yes, and I've been diligently taking notes like a massive nerd on all of this stuff.
In addition to trying to figure out all the time things, we're now trying to figure out the whole universe and get a star map going?
Oh, no. No, not even I am that crazy.
Okay. So while these two soldiers were saying what they were saying, there were two dark cloaked figures that we saw watching from a high spot in the docking station. So everything's powering on. Soldier One turns a lever, which opens the door for the Galra cruiser to enter the docking station.
And what's really cool is that it enters the docking station by rising into it. So mm-hmm. You see the cruiser go underwater, and then the bridge of the cruiser, the command structure near the back at the top, actually rises up into the bay. So it's double cool. I mean, you see it go down, and then it comes right back up into the bay. It's so neat.
Right. And what we saw, we were talking about those two figures. It's actually three. There's Kolovan and two other Blades of Marmora are watching the activity from above.
Mm-hmm.
Kolovan says, "We destroyed the Komar. How are the Galra still producing such vast amounts of quintessence?" He looks at one and says, "Find out where it's coming from and where it's going." And then he looks at the other and says, "Get a reading on that shipment. Remember, this is purely intelligence gathering. Do not engage." So the other one nods. We see in the next scene, a Galra soldier is snoring, sleeping in a chair at his station. Yeah, this happens all the time, right?
It does on Voltron.
He looks a little bit like Repid Sal, doesn't he?
Yeah. 500 GAC is now owed.
So the blade with a tail is in a shaft, and he uses it to grab his knife and cut a hole in a panel where he inserts a card and then starts looking at an instrument.
All right, so real quick, this is interesting in and of itself, not just because of the action, but because this character has a tail. You know, we've dealt with, beginning in season 3, we've seen Lotor, we've seen his four generals who have not been full-blooded Galra, and now we're seeing an example of a Blade of Marmora, another Galra who is not fully Galra. This character has a tail.
And Antok had a tail, remember?
That's true. That's true.
But Antok passed away.
Yes. Rest in peace, Antok.
Yes. So I would really like to know more about the blades that have tails and find out why.
Yeah.
The other blade sneaks up to some canisters and looks at the readings on a gauge. And then Kolivan says, looking at a holographic screen, he says, "Impossible. It's overloading my monitor. I've never seen these kinds of readings before." Then, just as he's saying that, a Galra soldier finds the other blade near the canisters, but the blade fires on him first. And as the Galra soldier falls back, he fires from his gun several times, making a loud racket. And Kolivan says, "The op is compromised. Abort." And then over the comm, as the blades start to move, you hear him say, "Extraction point in 2 doboshes. This is a hard out." So the other blade runs and avoids fire from the Galra and takes them out as he continues to get back to Kolivan. All right, so there's an alarm blaring. He's running. He gets inside, and he's catching his breath. And when he says this, he sounds like Keith. He says, "He's not back?" And Kolivan says, "He's got 30 ticks." And then the guy who sounds like Keith runs out. He says, "Begin preparations for takeoff."
I wonder who that guy who sounds like Keith is.
The ship is powering up. There's some beeping. And then the doors start to close. And then you hear some grunting. And then the blade carries the other one into the ship just before the doors close. and then they take off from the docking station. Kolyvan puts a device on the blade that's sitting on the ground. He puts a device on his shoulder, and the other one says, "Will he be all right?" And Kolyvan says, "You broke protocol." And then, of course, the blade reveals that he is Keith.
Surprise!
And says, "I had to." Kolyvan says, "You didn't consider that something could have happened to you. That would make two men down instead of one. Every member of the Blade of Marmora understands that the mission is more important than the individual. This isn't Voltron." Keith says, "I understand that. In Voltron, we would have gone back in to save Regris. I went back to save the mission. Regris had the intel. Getting him and it back on the ship was worth the risk." And he gives him the disc that Regris had obtained. So the other one with the tail, his name is Regris.
Yep.
So what do we think of this so far, you know, as this being the first scene in the new season?
Well, you know, there are two different perspectives we can have. There's exactly what you said, the first episode of season four. And then as this was originally intended to be aired, this would have been the first episode in the second half of season three. This was originally going to have been a 13 episode third season. I personally think it's very interesting to watch the show, these episodes, and think about them from both perspectives. We had a lot of backstory in the previous episode. Of course, the legend begins. This is a big shift from that. There was a whole lot of, wow, we need to figure out what to do to stop Lotor, but before we do, we need to understand the backstory. So Karan tells us all about the paladins of old. It was really cool, but this is a huge change in tone and the action level. I mean, we're back with the paladins that we know and love, but things are very different than they were just before the legend begins. You know, the paladins were doing their own thing. It seemed that Keith had his leadership qualities. He was beginning to get into a groove, and now we see him as subservient to Kolyvan in Blade of Marmora garb. This is a huge shift, so it's kind of shocking. What did you think of it?
Well, yeah, that's precisely what I was thinking, that the reason why it was split where it was in that season was because season three ended with The Legend Begins, and season four starts with, well, Keith's now with the Blade of Marmora.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we didn't get that feeling at the end of season three that that's what was going to happen.
Right.
Obviously, some time has gone by, and he's been working with them maybe at least on a part-time basis.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, just throwing that action in and having him, you know, not immediately appear and having him, you know, do some action before he reveals himself just goes to show this is what he's been wanting to do.
Yep.
And even though he's right now Black Lion's paladin, maybe there's a little something else going on that's taking up some of his time.
Yeah, he's not just delivering pizza on the weekends. This is a big thing.
Yeah.
Not that delivering pizzas isn't a big thing, because I love pizza.
Okay. Meanwhile, Keith returns with the Voltron team on the Castle of Lions, which is now parked on, it looks like, Olcarion?
Yep, that's where it is.
Yeah. Shiro says, "Keith, good, you're back. The team's on a mission. You need to get to your line and join them immediately." Keith says, "I will. But I think we just discovered a new form of quintessence. The readings are off the charts. Kolyvan says it could be linked to Lotor." Shiro says, "Okay, we'll discuss it when you return. The team's escorting refugees out of the FIM system." Keith says, "This is Lotor I'm talking about. He hasn't been seen in months. This might be our chance to track him down." Shiro said, "I said we'll discuss it later. Right now, I need you to focus on the mission at hand." Keith says, "But," and Shiro says, "This isn't a request, Keith. Get to the FIM system. That's an order." It almost sounds like a different kind of Shiro now, doesn't it?
A different kind of Shiro. Interesting.
I mean, he's being very firm with Keith.
Oh, sure. But he's got good reason to be. I mean, if Keith's been, you know, doing a little Blade of Marmora-ing on the side, there's bound to be some schedule conflicts, priority conflicts. Shiro is ever the tactician and strategist. He's got to be noticing it, and he's got to nip it in the bud.
And I almost sense that there's this, a little bit of frustration in his voice for not being the Black Paladin right now.
Well, I would think that if your current Black Paladin isn't always around to be a Paladin, yeah, I can certainly get that.
And Shiro certainly is there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So I'm wondering about that. You know, Keith's taking orders from both sides, basically.
Hmm.
I wonder how he feels about that.
That's a good question.
We see the other Lions are attaching themselves to small ships and flying them through space. Keith arrives in Black Lion and grabs another ship and joins the others. Pidge says, "Well, look who decided to show up." And then Lance says, "Yeah, are you even taking this seriously?" Keith says, "Sorry, I'm late." So after they finish with the refugees, they return to the castle, and Keith says to Shiro, "Were you able to speak with Kolivan about the intel?" Shiro says, "I did, and we need to find out all we can about that quintessence. But more importantly, Voltron needs a strong leader." Keith says, "I know they do, and it should be you." Shiro says, "Keith, we've discussed this before. Besides, we both know that Black Lion has chosen you." Keith says, "You only tried once. You had a connection with the Black Lion, and I know it's still there. If you just give it another shot." Shiro says, "Keith, we all have a part to play. This is mine now. I've come to terms with that. Now you need to. I support your decision to continue with your Marmora training, but not at the expense of the team. They need you, Keith. They need you to be their leader." So, end of that scene. What do you think?
They've definitely been talking about this before. This is not a new problem to them. It is to us. But yeah, there's been some tension going on here. And Keith's loyalties do seem to be divided right now.
Mm-hmm. This might be a continuing problem if it goes on like this.
Yeah, we'll have to watch and see how this unfolds.
So later on, Karan is talking to everybody and he says, "Okay, everybody, today we'll be heading to Rifod, a planet recently liberated from Galra forces." Keith says, "This is embarrassing. We're basically the Grand Marshal of a parade." Karan says, "Not a parade, a show of arms." Pidge says, "Whatever it is, this is the second one of these we've done just this week." And Alora says, "I know it's not exactly battling the Galra, but believe it or not, this helps us boost morale and strengthen alliances." Lance says, "Right, right, strongholds, blah, blah, blah. Now I say we go over our Lion choreography one more time. I don't want a repeat of what happened last time, Hunk." Hunk says, "I thought my Lion had more room." And then Kolivan comes over the comm screen. "Shiro, my apologies for interrupting, but this is an urgent matter." Notice he only said Shiro.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's a whole team there. There's a whole bunch of other people. Why is it only Shiro?
You know, it may be a reflection of Galra culture. I mean, it's very stratified, as we saw very much in The Legend Begins, where Zarkon's telling his friends not to mingle with the lower classes. Kolivan may be opposed to Zarkon, but, you know, there's still some Galra culture going on there. So that could very well be what's going on.
Okay, well, he continues. "A Galra supply ship has been spotted passing through Quadrant Omega Railer 6. There's another quadrant, by the way, that we didn't know about before.
Ah, yes.
Omega Railer 6.
Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Omega Supreme. Sorry, that's a transformer.
Shiro says, "What's it doing so far from the normal supply routes?" Kolivan says, "We can't be certain, but taken together with the fact that Lotor hasn't been seen in quite some time, and the emergence of this new form of quintessence, we feel compelled to investigate. Normally, we would wait for better intel, but I believe we should act on this now." Shiro says, "I'll send Voltron to intercept." Kolivan says, "An infiltration mission makes more sense. We can plan a tracker and see just how far the supply route extends. With all the Galra activity as of late, my agents are spread thin." Keith says, "Not anymore. Count me in." Lance says, "Hey, what about our performance? We can't razzle-dazzle the crowd with just four Lions." Keith says, This mission is more important than a show of arms. Keith says, Shiro? Shiro, asking Kolovan, says, how long will it take? Kolovan says, not long, but we must act fast, or we risk the ship jumping to hyperspace. Shiro tells Keith, go. But when you're done, meet us on Riphod.
Kolovan contacts Shiro, addresses only Shiro, but makes it a point to say, my forces are spread thin. It's very, very clear he wants Keith to join. Now, you know, Keith speaks up and said, not anymore, I'm in. But Kolovan would not have said what he said unless he thought Keith was going to join him.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. And they don't want to make a big deal with bringing Voltron in and bashing things because they're trying to keep it on the down low and trying to find out what all these routes are for all this quintessence.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's right to sneak, but yeah, can't use Voltron to sneak.
Yeah, that's true. He's a little hard to hide. But at least at this point in season four, he's hard to hide. Spoilers!
Yeah.
But what's interesting here is Kolovan helped form the strategy that helped defeat Zarkon back at the end of season two, but it was mostly Shiro's plan. And it's very interesting to see Kolovan believing that he is in his element and Shiro is out of his. And this is not a dressing down, so to speak, but this is very much Kolovan saying, no, this is the way it's got to be. And I'm a little surprised at his tone and a little surprised that Shiro is passive. I'm assuming Shiro just agrees. Yeah, that does make more sense. But it's very interesting to see that difference after Shiro basically led and the entire strategy for that big battle they had at the end of season two.
Right. And don't forget Lance's presentation of the whole plan.
Oh, we can't forget that. That was pretty razzly-dazzly, wasn't it?
Yes. So we can see why, you know, Lance getting excited about that presentation of the plan. And then coming now to where, you know, Voltron has to have a show of arms. And Lance getting upset that not everybody's participating.
Right.
So that's a foreshadowing of the Voltron show.
Interesting.
So later on Riphod, Karan is speaking to the citizens and he says, citizens of Riphod, on this day we honor you for your perseverance. Your refusal to bow down in the face of such adversity is a testament to the fighting spirit of your people. You've put aside your differences and united to dispel the oppressive Galra regime, bringing freedom to all. And the crowd cheers. And of course, we see in the crowd, one is holding up a drawing of Shiro.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice some of them look like Nian Nam?
Yes, from Return of the Jedi. Yeah.
Yes.
And then there's, didn't they have one called Ten Nun in The Force Awakens? Not called out by name, but yeah, another one of Nian Nam's kind. Yes.
Right. So Karan says, we thank you for joining the coalition and continuing the fight against the Galra that began with the reemergence of the five lions of Voltron. So then the four lions appear above with their colored trails and flying in formation. And Karan says, right, four lions. So Lance says, I thought Keith said he was going to be here. He's going to ruin our show. Allura says, Lance, this isn't just about putting on a good show. It's about uniting people and bringing them to the coalition to help in the fight against Zarkon. Lance says, fine. I don't even know why I try. So meanwhile, out in space, the three blades are jumping from their ship and they're flying towards another ship. Kolovan says, triangulate positions around the ship. Keith lands on the ship and sets a device on it and then looks at his instrument. Keith says, not detecting any biorhythms. Kolovan says, could be a crew of sentries. Let's get in and find out. Inside, all three meet up, and Regris says, I completed the sentry scan. There are none on board. Keith says, the entire place is empty. Have you ever seen this before? Kolovan says, something's not right here. We should leave. Keith says, we came all this way. We should at least plant the tracker and find out where the ship ends up. Kolovan says, let's make it quick. They enter another room and there's rapid beeping going on. Regris says, I'll check the logs. Keith says, planning the tracker. Regris says, I'm locked out of the system. Keith says, it's rigged to blow. Kolovan says, the ship's a decoy. Everyone out. Regris says, attempting to override. Kolovan and Keith cut into the door to open it. And Keith says, there's not enough time. Come on. Regris says, just a few more ticks. Keith goes after him, but Kolovan grabs him and pulls him back down the hallway. And Keith says, Regris, no. And then the whole ship explodes.
Yuck.
Yeah. So it was a trap.
Yep. It's a trap. It's a trap. Sorry.
Yeah. So we go back to Rifod, and Karan is still talking. He says, by joining the Voltron Alliance, you are joining up with the Defenders of the Universe, who will do whatever it takes to spread peace and freedom to every galaxy. Then we go back to Keith. So what did you think about this back and forth kind of thing going on here?
I always dig that sort of thing. When this kind of stuff is edited together well as it is here, it's really, really telling. One of the best examples I've seen of this kind of thing where you cut back and forth and each scene kind of adds something to the other one is the movie The Fifth Element. Luc Besson's The Fifth Element from, I think, 1997.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Leeloo is fighting all these villains and all that, and they keep cutting back to Lady Plava Laguna, I think her name is.
Oh, the opera singer.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I love when they're cutting back and forth. And this is not quite that dynamic, but it really is cool to see that contrast in tone.
Right. Karan telling everybody, oh, look, join us and we'll bring peace to the galaxy and everything. And then at the same time, all these missions are going on at the same exact time where, you know, some really dangerous things are happening.
Mm-hmm. And it really emphasizes that, you know, Keith was saying, you know, we're basically going to embarrass ourselves and, you know, be grand marshals. And, you know, this is serious stuff. Well, yeah, look at this. This is really serious stuff.
Yeah, because we see Keith floating through the wreckage of the explosion.
Yeah.
And he wakes up and says, hello, Kolovan? And then there's static on the communicator and air hissing. He's actually got a hole in his suit, so he has to hold it with one hand. And he says, anyone? Communicator must be broken. So he holds onto the hole in his outfit with one hand and uses a knife on a string to connect a large piece of floating ship. Now we go back to Rifod, and the crowd is cheering. And Lance says, they're loving us! Razzle dazzle! So the lions are still doing their flight maneuvers for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go back to Keith. Keith is scanning for their ship. He's breathing heavily. There's beeping. And Keith says, the ship! He sees it. And then he grunts and he groans and he pushes and he makes a leap for the ship. And he hits a few pieces of space debris along the way. But then he lands in the ship as the door closes and Kolovan is there.
Hmm.
Now back to Rifod. The crowd's cheering. And just as Voltron has shown what can be done when five individuals combine their powers together, so too can we combine our powers with those on planet Rifod and grow ever stronger. This is all Karan again. For it is the individual willing to take up arms that strengthens the whole, and with that strength, we will be unstoppable. And then he says to himself, and cue Voltron with the sword? The cheering stops. There's just light clapping and a cough in the distance. He says, oh, Quiznak, only four lines. I keep forgetting that. When he's together, he's like a big man, like this, and he's lifting his hand above his head.
Yeah, because that's definitely how tall Voltron is.
But you have to imagine it with a sword and a big laser cannon. And he imitates gunfire. Look out, Zarkon! I'm Voltron, and I'm the biggest, baddest robot around. No, he doesn't actually talk like that, but that's what I imagine him saying if he did.
I'm glad the Paladins didn't chime in with what they think Voltron's cannon sounds like.
Right.
Pachoo, pachoo. Anyway.
Blam, blam, blam.
Right.
So Shiro's in the background of this, and he looks like he wishes he was somewhere else.
Yeah.
So we go back to the castle. Keith returns, and he meets Allura in the hallway. Keith says, Allura, I know you're mad at me, but I'm not in the mood for a lecture. And Allura says, I just wanted to say I'm sorry. I heard what happened on your mission. Keith says, thanks. Allura says, I know how important the work you've been doing with the Blades is. They are incredible allies and have been instrumental in our victories over the Galra. And while the news of a new quintessence supply line is deeply troubling, I cannot help but feel..." And then Keith interrupts her. "I said I didn't want to lecture." And Laura says, "Keith, since our battle with Zarkon, we've been able to bolster our forces by uniting those previously ruled by the Galra under a common symbol, Voltron. It's so much more than a weapon. It's become a symbol of freedom and hope for the oppressed to rally around. I suppose what I'm trying to say is, the Marmora can go on without you. They have for thousands of years. Voltron cannot. We cannot." And then she walks past him and he looks down, not saying anything. We get how Alora's feeling how about all this. And what do you think Keith's thinking right now?
I think he's still on course to doing what he plans to do. I have to wonder, though, is Keith, you know, and this question comes up later in the episode, is he running from his role as the leader of the Paladins, or is he trying, is he just having a massive identity crisis? Shiro thinks he's going to grow into a strong leader. Keith doubts this. We have, of course, the lingering question of, you know, what Keith's heritage is, what happened to his mother. There's a lot that he doesn't know about himself, and that mystery still lies in part with the Blade of Marmora. So I guess it's all of the above. You know, he's got a whole lot going on in his head.
I've got a different angle.
Okay.
You know how every time Keith talks about Lotor, he's got like that fire in his eyes?
Yes.
You know how Zarkon was obsessed with getting the Black Lion?
Mm-hmm.
I think Keith's a little obsessed with getting Lotor.
That's very interesting. Perhaps because he's a kindred spirit in the sense that they are both part Galra, or is he just directing a lot of his rage and angst against Lotor?
Here's the thing. Has Lotor done anything to them, really, other than play cat and mouse games with them?
Really? No, he hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't actually seen Lotor do anything bad, have they?
Steal a part of the Teledov?
Well, yeah, I mean, it looks like his intentions are evil.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like he has plans to do some evil things, but he really hasn't done anything yet to garner this kind of hatred, other than the fact that he sort of led them and wanted to know more about them and just played around with them for a little bit.
Yeah, fair point.
So I'm just wondering where this really nasty hatred of Lotor came from.
Hmm. Well, it also happened at about the same time. I mean, Lotor surfaced at about the time that Shiro had disappeared. Well, I mean, just after Shiro disappeared. So maybe Lotor's a little bit of a scapegoat for the frustration that that Keith has had, not only with Shiro disappearing, but also him being thrust in the role of the Black Paladin. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and he kind of blames it on Lotor maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
Okay. The next scene, we see Kolovan is talking to a bunch of rebels and using a holographic map. The fact that the Galra are using decoy ships proves that there's something larger going on. We've been tracking shipments of this new quintessence. It's running along a previously unknown route, which we partially identified here. We believe the next stop could be in the Carthen Sigma Quadrant. Keith, you'll need to get onto the ship undetected and set a series of explosives. So here's another quadrant, the Carthen Sigma Quadrant.
I know, they're everywhere.
We've heard about like three different quadrants now.
Well, there should only be one left if it's a quadrant, shouldn't there? I'm only kidding. We all know, if you've watched Star Trek, that there are many, 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 many quadrants. I don't know what they're one-fourth of, but there's a whole lot of them.
So what we see is Keith is seen on Galra cruisers setting explosive devices. An explosion occurs. We see the rest of the Voltron team bringing supplies to people on other worlds. Alora's there, and she gasps as she sees Keith hiding in the crowd and moving on. And Shiro is looking intently at Black Lion. So what do you think about that scene where he's just walking in the crowd, she sees him and gasps, and then his hood comes back on, and then he walks away?
It's emotional. It raises a lot of questions. What really is going on in Keith's mind?
Yeah, it was kind of strange.
Yeah, definitely strange. And Did Allura have this? It's one of those things where, okay, Allura notices Keith. Are the other ones, I mean, they're clearly occupied with what they're doing. Is there a reason why the writers decided to have Allura be the person who noticed this?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But they were the ones that just had recently had a talk in the hallway.
That's true.
Now we go back to a completely different section of the universe on Lotor's ship. And we see Aksha saying, "Prince Lotor, High Priestess Hagar requires your presence." So over the comm screen, we see Hagar. And she says, "Lotor, while you distance yourself from Central Command, rebel forces have taken entire star systems from our hands." So Lotor is now sitting in his command chair where he's surrounded by his generals that are standing in front of him. Lotor says, "You think clutching on to worthless outposts strengthens our empire?" Hagar says, "Your father knew those outposts would one day become strongholds." Lotor says, "My father is on his deathbed and I'm in control." Hagar says, "You say you rule, yet you stay hidden. An emperor must be seen. His absence diminishes his power." Lotor says, "I don't have to explain myself to you. Now, do not bother me again."
All right, so let's discuss this in light of what you said about Keith being obsessed with Lotor. Is it just me, or is there a parallelism going on here?
There is.
Yeah, I mean, Hagar is to Shiro as Lotor is to Keith.
That's right, because Lotor is saying, "Hey, I'm leading the way I like to lead." And somebody's coming down on him saying he's not being the leader we expect you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, Keith, he's hiding from being a leader and doing the Blade of Marmora stuff instead.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, there's definite parallel there.
Yep.
So it is interesting. We've seen that before as well.
Right.
So we're back on the castle ship, and there's an electronic beeping going on, and Allura says, "What's going on?" Karan says, "We've received a distress signal. One of our convoys has been ambushed by a squadron of Galra cruisers." Shiro says, "Our medical supply ships. We can't allow the Galra to get them." Allura says, "We must leave immediately. Voltron can keep those cruisers occupied long enough for the supply ships to make their escape." Pidge says, "Actually, Voltron can't. Keith is gone." Shiro says, "They're probably on a mission. I knew this would happen sooner or later."
It's amazing to me that they can't even keep tabs on him. I mean, you know, it's for Pidge to have to point that out.
Yeah.
And Shiro to not know that Keith left. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, it's one thing to, you know, "I've got to leave. I'll see you all soon." But here, he just vanished.
Yeah, do you remember at the very beginning, it was like, "Oh, Keith, you're back. Good. I need you to go to, you know, this system and all that kind of stuff."
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like he is preoccupied with other things, but, you know, the ability to form Voltron, not be at the top of your preoccupation.
Yeah, and this is Shiro we're talking about here, who tries to be on top of everything and have all the pieces in alignment and have his grandiose plans put together. But he's awfully lenient with Keith. You know, we might have thought, "Oh, wow, he sure was being harsh with Keith earlier." But all things considered, he's been really, really light on him.
Yeah. And the fact that they knew this would happen sooner or later, then why didn't you make sure it doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, what does Shiro do now? He stands around and thinks. And that he's good at it, at least until this lapse happened. But, you know, he's a strategist and all this jumping, but he gets into the battles. And now he can't fly the castle. He can't fly the Black Lion. He's standing around thinking and talking a lot and watching the monitor. So, you know, watch a little more closely, buddy.
Right. So he says, "You'll have to go without Keith. The convoy needs you immediately. I'll send him to help as soon as I find him." And then they all leave. So Galra cruisers are catching ships in their tractor beam. The alarms are blaring. Everybody's grunting. Then the four lions arrive. And Lance says, "We got to get that ship out of the tractor beam." Hunk says, "I'll try to ram it out. Cover me." So he goes to ram it, but thousands of fighters appear from the Galra cruisers. Hunk says, never mind. There's too many. I can't ram that many." So several other cruisers appear out of hyperspace all of a sudden. And then Hunk says, "Someone must have called for backup." Lance says, "They're everywhere." Pidge says, "There are more fighters than we've ever seen." And Lance says, "Allura, I need your help. I got two on my tail."
He can literally say that, too. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Allura says, "I'm sorry. I can't get to you. They're all over me." So what's happening is Karan and Shiro are watching all this from the castle. Shiro turns to leave. And Karan says, "What are you doing?" And Shiro says, "Whatever I can."
It's about time.
Yeah. He goes into Black Lion's cockpit, and then he exhales deeply. He still hears the others on the comm as he tries to focus. Hunk saying, "I take out one, but two more replace it." Laura says, "The supply ship is almost captured. Can anyone get to it?" Lance says, "I'm trying." Then Shiro squeezes his hands on the controls tighter. Hunk says, "Where are they all coming from?" Pitch says, "Watch out behind you." Allura says, "Do the rebel ships have a shot?" Lance says, "I have a visual on them. They're dead in the water." Allura says, "We can't do this without Voltron." Lance says, "Where is Keith?"
So I gotta say, you know, Shiro is finally taking some action here. You know, we're kind of thinking, "Oh man, Keith, what is wrong with you? Why are your loyalties divided?" and all the rest of this. But along with Shiro being fairly oblivious to this for quite a while and kind of passive about it, he really, to Keith's credit, when Keith said, "You only tried once," in light of how absent Keith has been, seemingly for a while, I'm kind of surprised that Shiro has not tried more than just that one time. Aren't you? Until now?
Yeah, but we saw earlier in the episode, he did visit Black Lion.
That's true.
But he didn't go up into the cockpit and try to reconnect with the lion.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want to step on Keith's toes or whatever, but I don't know. It would be nice to have a backup somewhere, wouldn't it?
Right.
What if Hunk had the flu or something? "I'm sorry, we can't form a leg of Voltron. One of us has the sniffles, you know?"
Or the slipperies.
So. Yes, there we go.
Okay. So Shiro's, his eyes are still closed, and he says, "Please, people's lives are at stake. You trusted me once." And his eyes are open now. "Trust me again." And then Black Lion lights up all over. And Shiro gasps, and the lion roars. Now back at the real battle, Hunk says, "There's no way we can beat all these fighters with only four lions." Shiro says, "You don't have to." And then Lance and Allura at the same time say, "Shiro," and Hunk says, "No way." Black Lion starts to hit several ships, turns, and then Shiro says, "Converge on me. It's time to form Voltron." And then the lion roars, and then Voltron forms.
Woohoo! And the music is very different this time. It's not the usual fanfare that we normally get in this series when they form Voltron. This is it's much more a continuation of the background music that we've heard up to this point. So it's very interesting that the tone of forming Voltron is different through the music.
And Voltron proceeds to tear apart the whole fleet of Galra ships.
Yes, it's beautiful.
I mean, it's just one after another. It's just tearing it all up.
Yep.
And then finally, Voltron comes up alongside the Rebel craft, and Shiro says, "Rebel craft, you're safe. We'll escort you the rest of the way to Alcarion." Now, later, back on the castle ship, Keith says, "Guys, I..." And then he looks at their nasty faces. "I heard what happened. I'm sorry I wasn't there to help." Allura says, "You keep saying you're sorry, but your actions say otherwise. Do you realize that your absence put the team in jeopardy?" Lance says, "And not just the team, the refugees as well." Pidge says, "Matter of fact, the entire quadrant was in danger." Now, which quadrant was that?
I don't remember. We can make up a name. Quadrant Taco Bell. How's that?
Okay. Sigma Alpha Tau?
Yeah, something okay. like that.
All right. So Keith says, "This is not the way I wanted this to happen. But if there's a bright side to any of this, it's that my absence allowed Shiro to reestablish his bond with the Black Lion. He can finally be the leader I was unable to be. I'm not meant to pilot the Black Lion."
Now, how long do you think he rehearsed that?
It sounds like for a while.
Yeah, I mean, Keith is not exactly the most loquacious of the paladins. He is a person of few words. That was a lot of words. He's been thinking about that a while.
Yeah. So Alora says, "Is that why you've been pulling away from us?" Keith says, "Yeah, I suppose that's part of it." Hunk says, "Part of it? What's the other part?" Keith says, "The Blades have been making headway tracking the source of this new quintessence. They've been able to piece together a large network of hidden supply lines that have been secretly transporting it for who knows how long, and there's good reason to believe it could lead us directly to Lotor. A mission is being planned to infiltrate the supply line. It could take weeks, maybe months to pull off, but if there's a chance, I have to take it. I need to be on that mission. Shiro, you are the rightful leader of this team, and you proved it today by reconnecting with the Black Lion. It was always meant to be yours."
So, okay, what is Keith trying to prove? I mean,
I can't lead.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen what Kolovan does with his own troops. He leaves them behind without batting an eye. You know, he left Regrus behind basically twice, or would have. He would have left Keith behind in that debris field after the Gulliver cruiser exploded. What is Keith trying to prove and to whom? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. That's a big mystery.
Yeah.
Well, Shiro puts his hands on Keith's shoulders and says, "Keith, if this is what you feel is right, then we won't try to stop you. But just know that we're here for you whenever you need us." Keith says, "I know you are. And I can't tell you how much that means to me." So they grab hands and pull in for a hug. Now Hunk is visibly crying. And he says, "I can't be left out of this." So they all go in for a huge group hug. They're all crying. And Pidge says, sobbing, "We're really going to miss you." And Lance says, "Yeah, who am I going to make fun of?" And Alora says, "I know you'll make us proud." And then Keith leaves. The end.
Wow. That's a big change.
Yes.
I mean, Shiro disappeared, but Keith chose to leave. The person who told Pidge he couldn't leave the team has now left the team.
Right. Exactly. And does it feel permanent?
There's the in the moment watching the episode, yes. And then there's the with the foreknowledge that there will be more than this one season. There's a part of me that thinks it's probably not a permanent thing, especially with the ongoing mystery about Shiro. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, in this just this one episode alone, if we hadn't seen another episode immediately after that or anything, it would have felt very permanent.
Yep.
Almost. They could have ended a season with this.
Yeah. What kind of a cliffhanger would that have been?
Yeah, wow. Exactly. And had they done that, there would have been a lot of upset people.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a pretty intense thing there. That and of course that group hug. I really like that group hug.
Yeah, that was a great moment. I noticed that Hunk and Karan both had solution coming not only out of their eyes, but also their nostrils. It was pretty intense.
Yeah. So that was an interesting way to start season 4.
Yeah.
I mean, we had just gotten through season 3 where Keith had assumed the leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that at the beginning of season 3, he didn't want any part of that. He wanted to find Shiro.
Right.
And then, you know, eventually he got into that leadership role and, you know, despite a few trials and tribulations, he finally succumbed to that leadership role. And now here we are at the beginning of season 4 and already he's not in it anymore.
Yeah, I was very surprised when I first saw this episode.
So you can go through a full season and a lot of different things can change.
Yeah. That's one of the many, many things I love about this program. You cannot take anything for granted.
Right. Yeah, you've still got people who are in different lines than the color of their uniforms.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. But they don't match anymore. But I honestly, when Keith became the Black Paladin in season three, I was convinced he was there to stay. And this really did throw me for a loop.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing is there were people thinking that one of these seasons they were going to change the opening sequence for the theme song and everything at the beginning of every show.
Mm-hmm.
And they still haven't done that either.
Yeah, and there has been some talk about, well, it would cost us a lot of money to make another opening sequence. We'd rather spend the money making the episodes the best that they can be. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. But I also get that when you have this much churn among the Paladins, if they had done a cutover and established a new status quo in season three or even now with the churn that continues to happen, it would have, it would have been a little misleading. I kind of like the fact that they've kept it as it was from season one, because it really kind of, it doesn't spoil anything or make you assume anything, you know?
Right. So with so many changes happening, even as we go through a season, you know, maybe it's not wise to change up the opening theme yet.
Yeah. I was just thinking of, I think it was season five of the Dukes of Hazzard when Bo and Luke were replaced by
Coy and Vance.
Yeah, Coy and Vance.
Yeah.
They changed the title sequence and everything was okay. We got these new losers. And then all of a sudden, halfway through the season, Bo and Luke are back. Coy and Vance disappear without saying a word. And they changed the title sequence again. So I'm really glad they haven't gone Coy and Vance here.
They haven't jumped the shark.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. So, you know, we're not bringing in Coy and Vance. We're not bringing in Scrappy Doo.
Yeah.
We're not bringing in the great Gazoo.
Nice. No Bruce Boxleitner to replace Michael O'Hare. Sorry, Babylon 5. I got it fresh on the brain. Another thing I got for Christmas was the Babylon 5 encyclopedia, and oh my gosh, I love it.
Right.
So, yeah, anyway.
And we're not replacing Marvin and Wendy and Wonder Dog with the Wonder Twins and Gleek.
Form of a bucket of water.
Yeah. So, yeah, we still got our full team together.
Yes, they're just in different places.
Yeah. So we'll see where Keith ends up at the end of all this.
Yep. I am really, really excited about season five. How about you?
I am. I definitely am. I'm excited about it, but I'm patient.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just think it's fun as we go through these episodes, in this case, literally months after the fact, it is a fun reminder of how far this story has progressed in what, by the end of this season, what, 37 episodes, if you think of the premiere as one long episode?
Right.
What a lot of plot development. It's really phenomenal.
Yeah, they get a lot packed into an episode. I mean, we go to review these episodes every time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, stepping through the episode slowly to be able to write things down.
Mm-hmm.
And it just amazes me just how far I still have to go, and what I've already gone through seemed like a lot.
Yeah, and it's just 22, 23 minutes.
Exactly.
Fascinating. Yeah.
It amazes me. I'm like, wow, so much has happened already. Do we really have that much time left? Wow.
Yeah. It's funny. I keep thinking back about the someone on Twitter, I think it was it Windswept Zeriel, had posted today that her son bought a Die Rugger DVD.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was thinking of the Vehicle Team Voltron episodes, and one of my gripes about more episodes than I care to think of is basically the people on the Stellar Ship Explorer. We need to make peace with the Drools and find a new planet. And then they cut back to the Drools. We need to make war, or maybe peace, or survive our planet before it blows up. But they talk about that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, the entire episode. And very little plot development happens in many of the episodes. Not all, but in a lot of them. And compare and contrast that with Voltron Legendary Defender, where a whole heck of a lot happens in such a short time. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's almost like all the people that came together to make that video, Voltron's in a Winter Wonderland.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty amazing.
You know, the next time we do something like that, we'll have to plan that out farther in advance so we have a lot more time to get everybody's vocals in line. Because I didn't even realize my vocals weren't even in stereo. So
yeah, so spoilers for those of you who don't check out our YouTube channel. After we finished the fourth anniversary episode, in the span of about maybe a week, 10 days, I reached out to the people who had been in that episode, Mel, Mako, and Zilla, and also to Seamus, and of course to you, Mark, and tossed out an idea about us making a Voltron kind of a holiday or Christmas Carol video.
Mm-hmm.
It was thrown together very, very quickly. You know, we were really under, or I was doing a lot of the post-production. It was really under the gun to get that thing put together and out the door to have at least 3 or 4 days before Christmas to let it sink in and get some viewers. But yeah, it's got some glitches in places, but that was so much fun to do.
Yeah, and here's the thing. With the limited amount of time that you had, you were still able to put something Voltron into the snowflakes.
Yeah, so I assume you segued into this because of Vehicle Team Voltron.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I will tell you this. I originally had plans to make two videos, one of which was going to be a play on the 12 Days of Christmas, but it would be the 15 vehicles of Vehicle Team Voltron. But I very quickly realized as I wrote the lyrics that no one is going to want to listen to 15 verses of anything, whether it's Vehicle Team Voltron or anything. So I put the kibosh on that and focused exclusively on Legendary Defender. It turned out that that's all I had time for anyway, but I did not want to leave Vehicle Team Voltron completely behind. So the snowflakes that are falling in the video, I made those custom, and they are literally based on the logo of Vehicle Team Voltron from the 1980s merchandise packaging. So the Lion Force, a lot of people are very familiar with the Lion Force logo from the 80s if they grew up in the 80s. It's like a profile view of the Red Lion's head done as line art, just black and white line art. Well, the Vehicle Team had a logo that was two or three vehicles in some kind of an arrangement with little speed lines behind them, like they're moving very rapidly. And so I took that logo and made a circular array of them to make a 6-point snowflake, and then cloned it and made them teeny tiny little things and have them falling in the video. So so there you go. Is that nerdy or what?
And where did you tell everybody about this snowflake?
Oh, on my lionsandpilotsandbots.com site. So I still write a whole bunch of nerdy stuff out there about every 2 or 3 weeks, try to throw out an article to keep the nerd cred going. So yeah, shortly after I posted the video to the YouTube channel, I went ahead and had an exclusive sneak peek into the snowflake. So there you go.
Because it's only there where you get this behind the scenes stuff that really gets you into, oh, they actually were able to make Voltron snowflakes. That's interesting.
Not. Yeah, you can't tell in the video, of course. They're small. There's some motion blur going on and
exactly.
All that. Golly, it was fun to do.
So in addition to lionsandpilotsandbots.com, uh-huh. We'd also like to let everybody know that you can still go to our Let's Voltron store and get your Let's Voltron gear.
Yes.
There's all kinds of new things out there that we just recently added. So go out, check the new designs out there. And there will be sales coming up pretty soon. So keep an eye out for the sales as well.
All right.
So that can be obtained by going to letsvoltron.com, going to the top of the page where you see all those icons where all of our other sites are, from like our Facebook page to our Twitter to our YouTube channel. But the one icon all the way on the top right, all the way to the right, is the Let's Voltron store on TeePublic. So go there and check out all our Let's Voltron gear.
Woohoo!
So that's enough for this week, and we're going to be bringing you another episode review next time.
Yes, this is fun, especially months after the fact. I mean, you know, if we've been bleeding edge with this, you know, what, 3-4 months ago, I mean, we would have been bleeding edge along with everyone else. But, you know, we are paving our own trail here, aren't we?
Well, I kind of like the idea that we're leading people up by reviewing, you know, season 4 right before season 5 comes.
Yeah, yeah.
And our next episode is one of the best of season 4. I think a lot of people count this as one of their favorite episodes, and it's called Reunion, and it's all about Pidge and Matt.
Yes, what a fun, awesome, emotional episode.
Yes, a very powerful episode.
Yep.
So, can't wait to review that with you.
Yep, it's a great one.
And we'll see you all next time on...
Let's Voltron!